We're going to be in Proverbs 23 today. Proverbs 23rd chapter. Brian, oh, he's not here. What do I do? Spacebar. All right, we're good. Amen. I make no secret, I am electronically challenged. One of my challenges. I'm also height challenged. I figured if I was 6'8", I'd be the right weight.
Amen, brother.
So, amen. Proverbs 23. I'm going to read first 24 verses. I want you to follow along with me. I love the book of Proverbs. And for years, I've read a chapter of Proverbs every day. Proverbs is practical wisdom for daily living. That's what it is. And so I've never been able to put it all together. You never will. Because Proverbs is a bunch of isolated thoughts about different things, but they apply to our daily life. And Proverbs 23, by the way, if you're reading through the Bible in a year, you need to get a schedule today and get started next week or this coming week. And if you finish, make sure you mark your square so that we get you a certificate. And we've had some folks do it again this year, either read through the Bible in the year or read from the Bible every day. That's another one of our challenges. So make sure you mark up your chart back there. 23, Proverbs. Solomon, what we consider to be the wisest man to ever live, wrote many of the Proverbs. Now, he's a man who became king, and he asked God for godly wisdom to lead his people. And God said, because he didn't ask of anything, riches or anything like that, I'm going to grant you your request. And he gave Solomon godly wisdom. And Solomon wrote many, many things down of godly wisdom. Now, in 23, we find some things. And he says, when thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Now a new thought. Labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Will thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, they fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with 17. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Listen, we're not supposed to envy sinners. We shouldn't envy the lifestyle of the unsaved. Now, sometimes we as believers do this thing. We look at the unsaved and we say, boy, you know, we're just making it. And look at those unsaved. They don't live for God. They don't pay their tithes. They don't go soul winning. They don't teach Sunday school. They don't do anything for the Lord. They don't read their Bible. They don't care about God. Look, they're prospering. And sometimes we can get envious. But listen, don't get envious of them. See, because what they have here is all they're ever going to get. For lack of better terminology, this is all the heaven they're going to experience. This. Now, if this is heaven, it falls far short of what God says heaven's all about. But you see, one day they're going to die, just like we're going to die. We're going to go on to greater rewards and a greater place. They're going to go to suffering and torment forever. So don't envy them. Don't envy the unsaved and the wicked. They live with no thought for eternity. They live to please their flesh with no regard for consequences. Think about this. We're in a holiday season. I was coming down to work yesterday, and I think two or three places I passed road signs that were knocked over, and they weren't knocked over the other day. You know what I said to myself? The Christmas drunks are out. Yeah. You know, all of a sudden, people run over road signs. Like, what's happening? People, you know, they drink the liquor and they get all lit up. And But see, these people that drink that liquor, they're not thinking about eternity. The tobacco users, they're not thinking about eternity. Those engaged in fornication and adultery and the homosexuals and the casino crowd and the liquor crowd and all those, they're not thinking about eternity. They're thinking about their flesh. But see, we're supposed to live with eternity in view. Be careful who you admire. And then we need to be careful, you know, about and not be envious about who the world worships. Boy, we're in the sports age, aren't we? These sports stars being paid millions and millions and millions of dollars, and the world in a lot of ways worships them. Personally, I don't understand how any man is worth a few million dollars a year. Just because he can jump high and throw a ball in a hoop or throw a fastball 100 miles an hour, I still don't see why that makes him worth that kind of money. But see, I don't worship sports. And sports figures. People worship sports figures, rock stars, politicians, you know, on and on, you could go. But listen, we need to be careful about who we're envious of. And hey, don't be envious of your peers that are prospering. Sometimes we look around and we see other people who, you know, they're doing a little better than we are, and we kind of get envious. I remember I was working at that can company. I had a fellow mechanic. He went out and bought a new van. This was way back. But I'll tell you how you know how long ago this was. They still made cars out of steel, not plastic. That was a long time ago. But he went out and bought this van, this big van, you know. And I said to him, I said, oh, I see you got a van. He said, yeah. I said, that's a nice van. I said, boy, they're expensive. He said, yeah, but you know, so-and-so, he called the name of another coworker, got one. I figured if he could have one, I could have one. Now, isn't that envy? Wanting what other people have? We need to be careful about that. Listen, when somebody else is prospering, especially a brother and sister in Christ, we ought to rejoice with them, not envy what they have. Listen, when you're prospering, I'm rejoicing. Number one, I'm expecting you to put it in the offering plate. Nah, just kidding. But I am. I'm rejoicing when you're doing well, and I'm saddened when you're not. I'm not envious of you. You get a new car. Listen, you get a new car, I'm not envious you got a new car. I'm not going to say, well, I ought to have one too. No. Especially if you bought a Ford. Amen. I got some of you. Woke some of you up. But seriously, you get a new house. I'm not envious you got a new house. I'm rejoicing with you. And that's how we ought to be. We ought to be careful about envying. Listen, the Bible says if we're gonna bring joy to our Heavenly Father, we're gonna live in the fear of the Lord all the time. There's the contrast. See, those who are with godly wisdom recognize the folly of the wicked. We recognize the temporary status of the things of this world. We recognize the importance of living our lives to please the Lord, not to please our flesh. And by the way, it says all the day long. That means all the time. Not just on Sunday. Not just when the preacher's around. Not just when other Christians are around. All the time. Now, number three. If we're going to live by godly wisdom and please our Heavenly Father, we should do so by being diligent about guiding our heart. He says in verse 19, hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Our heart, as spoken of here, is the control center of our lives. That's what he's talking about there. Today we might say our mind. But that which controls our lives, he's saying we better guide. Why? Because it can get off track real quick. Now, we guide our heart. How do we do that? Well, if we're going to guide our heart, we better make proper choices. Listen, we're bombarded with temptations every day. And we got to understand, we've got to make proper choices. We can't be making the wrong choices when temptation comes our way. We need to purpose in our heart, I am not going to sin against my Heavenly Father. If something violates the Word of God, as we know it violates the Word of God, we just need to say in our heart, I'm not going there. That's something I don't do because it's against my Heavenly Father. We need to choose not to follow the wicked. We need to follow the godly and the examples of the Bible. And then we guide our heart by purposing to serve God. By the way, are you serving Him? That's what you're here for. That's why you're saved. According to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, we're saved unto good works, that we should walk in them. You're serving the Lord? He didn't say you just take you to heaven. And then we guide our hearts by choosing to live by God's Word. Listen, the world, the unsaved crowd, is out there, they're for... We have an idiom of today. We say they're flying by the seat of their pants. You know what that means. They have no guide. See, in the old days, some of these pilots would take off in those little propeller airplanes, you know, and they wouldn't have a flight plan. They just say, I'm going to fly over so-and-so. And they say, well, they're flying by the seat of their pants. You know, they don't have a plan. And the unsaved world don't really have a plan. They don't have a guide. Every day they got to get up and they've got to just kind of make their way through life. But I don't have to live that way. Because I got a guidebook. See, I get my nose in this book and I find out what God says. He says what I should do, what I shouldn't do, where I should go, what I should go. And when I have decisions to make, He gives me wisdom about, well, think about this, think about this. Here's a principle, here's a precept. So I have a guidebook. But the world don't have that. So we've got to learn as believers, if we're going to please our Father, we need to get our nose in the book and find out how He says to live and live accordingly. And that pleases Him. By the way, when we don't live accordingly, it displeases Him. Now, we need to live according to His Word. And understand this. Each one of us is responsible for the decisions in his or her life. You know, we're in this day and age where everybody wants to blame everybody else. We want to find all these reasons why this person does this and this person does that and they're this way and they're that way. And we blame their environment. We blame their upbringing. We blame they've got, you know, mental issues. We blame their education. Listen, we all need to take personal responsibility and understand each of us is responsible for our actions. And start living accordingly. We are responsible for every decision in our life. You see, nobody else can guide our heart but us. It's entirely up to us what decisions we make. And then we can please our Heavenly Father and live by godly wisdom by being selective about our companions. Oh boy. Look at verse 20. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. See, here's the principle. Who we hang around with is going to make a difference in our lives. Proverbs 13:20, I love this verse. I use this with young people oftentimes. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupts good manners. What's that mean? Here's what it means. You hang around with people who act wrong, you're going to end up acting wrong. We need to be careful who we hang around with. We need to choose our friends and our companions carefully. When we keep company with the wrong crowd, it's going to have negative effects on us, and it's dangerous for a godly person to keep company with an ungodly person. You know, I understand sometimes they want to help somebody who maybe is struggling in their Christian life, you know, and they got some issues. I'm not saying we shouldn't try to help them, but listen, to be best buddies and real close with people who are involved in a lot of wicked things they shouldn't be in. No, you can't keep company with those kind of people. We shouldn't yoke up with the unsaved. That's what 2 Corinthians 6 tells us. It tells us we shouldn't be yoked with unbelievers. Listen, the reason God said that is, here's why. God wasn't trying to be biased or selective. Unsaved people don't think like saved people. We're supposed to have the mind of Christ. When I got saved, God changed my thinking. I began to see things in a whole different way. Now, the unsaved don't see it the same way you do. So if we yoke up with them, we're going to have different value systems. We're going to have different desires. We're going to have different goals. So that means we're going to want to go in two different directions. I read over in Amos 3:3, it says, can two walk together lest they be agreed? See, you can't walk with somebody who wants to go in a different direction than you do. You ever run a three-legged race? You ever see how if the people aren't coordinated and working together, they fall down and, you know, just roll on the ground and stuff? The winner is the one who finds how to cooperate and work together and have the same mind. See, if you're a Christian, you try to yoke up with an unbeliever, you're going to end up the one rolling on the ground and stumbling. So we need to be careful about that. That doesn't please the Father when that happens to us. It's in marriage, it's in business, it's just in everything. And then the person with godly wisdom is going to keep company with those who help them to be better Christians. You should want to hang around with people who help you to be a better Christian. People who encourage you to be in church, in your Bible, in your prayer closet. People who encourage you to live for the Lord and be Christian in your life. Those people will help you spiritually. And then one final thing. We can bring joy to our Father and live with godly wisdom by being aware of the results of an undisciplined life. Look at verse 21. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Those three areas, the drunkard, the glutton, and the one who sleeps too much, are all people who have undisciplined lives. And God wants us to understand that we need to have discipline in our lives. For instance, we need to keep our appetites under control. Now, I know you're going to say, preacher, it's Christmas. All those goodies, all those foods, all that stuff, that's not what I'm talking about. When I say we need to keep our appetites under control, I'm talking about not just what we should eat or drink, but how about what we look at, what we read, what we watch, what we listen to, where we go. Our fleshly appetites, we need to be in control of them. See, too often we let the flesh rule. The flesh says, I want to go here. The flesh says, I want to do this. The flesh says, I want some of this. And we say, okay. But see, our flesh isn't supposed to run the show. Our spirit is supposed to run the show. Paul says that we're over in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. He says we're supposed to keep our bodies under subjection, under control. He says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. We need to keep our bodies under control. And then we need to keep our minds under control. Ooh. He says in Philippians, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. We need to be careful what we fill our minds with. You know, we're in the computer age and everybody knows garbage in, garbage out. Same holds true with this computer. We need to be careful what we let in there. And what we think on. I remember Bob Hamlin brought this out. He said, you know, you really can't think about two things at the same time. We often say, oh, I was thinking two things. You really can't do that. You can only think one thing at a time. So that means this. If you're thinking the right thing, you can't be thinking the wrong thing. See how smart I am? I figured that out. So, if we will fill our minds with right things, there's no way we're going to be filling them with wrong things. And that pleases our Heavenly Father when our minds are the minds of Christ. Listen, undisciplined minds are going to lead to unholy attitudes, which will lead to ungodly behavior. See, every action we commit starts here. You know that. Everything we do starts right here. Starts with a thought. And then a thought brings an action. So if we're going to control the action, we've got to control the thought. So we need to guide our minds. By the way, failure to have discipline in these areas is causing, going to cause us to be failures as Christians. Now, listen. God wants us to bring joy to Him. God wants us to please Him. He said over and over in His Word how we can please Him, how we can bring joy to Him. And I think in Proverbs there we see Solomon uses the human relationship of a father and son, saying that a son will bring joy to his father in these ways. But I think, and I believe with all my heart, the application carries over to us that if we want to bring joy to our Heavenly Father, here's some areas we need to work on. Here's some things we need to take into consideration. How many of you know God can be grieved? Hold your hand up if you know God can be grieved. All right. And the way He's grieved is through us. I don't want to live in a way that grieves God. On the contrary, I want to live in a way that brings joy to my Heavenly Father. And so I've tried to give you some things today that will help you to know, well, here's how I can bring joy to my Heavenly Father. And maybe if you didn't get it all today, go back to Proverbs 23. It's all right there in black and white. He just lays it out for us. Bingo, 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 bingo. I put it into practice. And you can know that you're living in a way it's going to bring joy to the Father. Well, let's bow our heads. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Most of the folks in this room profess to be saved. I say most because I don't know that everybody is, but I know most of you do. And so I'm going to ask you, first of all, you profess to be saved. You claim that you love God. You've been saved. You've been born again. I'm going to ask you this question. As a saved, born-again believer, are you living a life that's pleasing to your Heavenly Father? If you believe you are, would you hold your hand up and say, yeah, I believe my life is pleasing to my Heavenly Father. I try my best to please my Heavenly Father. Here's my hand. I do. I really do. I want to. Put it down. How many saved, born-again believers in this room would say, preacher, I don't know that I've really been living to please my Heavenly Father. I've failed in some areas. And you know, you kind of hit on them today. And preacher, I realize I need to change some things in my life so that I can live a life that is pleasing to my Father. And today I'm making a decision. There's things that need to change, and I want to change them. I'm asking God to help me to change those things today. Here's my hand. Would you put it up high? Put it up high. Hands are going up all over this room. God spoke to you today and said, hey, you're not living to please me. There's things that need to change here. Let's get down to business. You can put it down. Somebody else. Preacher, God spoke to me. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't have any doubts about that, but I sure haven't been pleasing the Lord. I need to change. I know it. God knows it. Here's my hand. Anyone else? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, are you saved? So, well, of course I'm saved. I'm in church. No. Let's think a minute. I'm going to rephrase the question. If you've died right now, are you 100% sure that you're going to heaven? Do you know that beyond a shadow of a doubt? If you know that, raise your hand. Yeah, I know that. I got saved. I'm born again. No doubt in my mind. Put it down. You couldn't raise your hand right now. God's speaking to you. Listen, friend, you need to get saved. It's the only way to get to heaven. Religion won't do it. Good works won't do it. Nothing you do will do it. Only faith in Christ. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, is there someone or maybe several in this room say, "Preacher, I'm not saved, but I would like for somebody to take the Bible today and take me to a quiet place and show me from the Bible how I can be saved and know my sins are forgiven and I have eternal life. That's my need today, and I'm willing to admit it. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? Listen, I won't call your name. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to pray for you. Here's my hand, preacher. That's what I need. I need Jesus. I need to get saved." Let's stand together. We're not going to sing. Mrs. Hunsinger is going to play a song of invitation. Listen, God spoke to your heart, believer. He spoke to you about some areas of your life. Maybe you need to come speak to Him. Make some commitments to Him. You come right now. You just slip out of your place around this altar. Do business with the Lord. Unsaved friend of mine, when she's playing now, you need to be saved. You slip out of your seat and you come, and I'll meet you right here. That won't save you, but it'll let me put you with someone, a man if you're a man, lady if you're a lady, and take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Will you come today? Right now, God speak in your heart. Will you come? Will you come? You raise your hand, you say, "God spoke to me." You need to come talk to Him. You say, "God's burdened my heart about some things in my life." You need to slip out and do business with Him. Listen, you don't have to give a speech. You don't have to tell us what it's all about. It's between you and Him. But you need to get it settled. Will you come? Will you come? I challenged you a few minutes ago and I said, are you absolutely sure if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? I hope you could say, yes, I'm absolutely sure because I've trusted Christ. Listen, if there's any doubt, in your heart and mind, we want to help you with that. This isn't something to play around with. This is your eternity that's hanging in the balance. It's important. It's the most important decision you ever make in your life. Will you come today? Will you come? Pleasing our Heavenly Father, He wants us to live in such a way that He's not grieved, but pleased. Listen, many of us have children, and our desire is that our children would live in such a way that they'd please us and bring joy to us, not grief. God feels the same way about His children. Will you come? Will you come? Folks have come and folks are praying. Do you need to come today? All right, come back tonight, 6:30, for our evening service. And by the way, we'll have more Christmas music. Just not ready to put it away yet. Enjoying it. Brother Brian Walsh, would you close our service with a word of prayer?